74 in the white book. 74 in the white book.
A specific group of boys down in the village, they're the hopefuls. That's the youngest group, I guess 9 years old, maybe some 10-year-olds, I don't know. But the youngest group in the village, some of the boys have started to cough through the night. Some of them have throats that are turning more red than they should be. And Sister Svetlana said, why don't we pray? It's nothing... They're not in the infirmary in Mercy. They're not away from their groups. They're not sick. But she doesn't want it to go any further than it's gone. And they cough through the night. The other kids stay awake. And then when they stay awake at night, then they're grumpy or sleepy during the day. And then they can't stay awake in the meetings. And then the Lord can't work in them. You understand. And you know, the enemy will do anything he can. Even give little boys red throats and coughing spells to keep other kids awake. But Lord, we're coming to you. And we bring it to you, Lord, and pray that it will stop. That it will go no further than it's gone. But Lord, that these boys that aren't 100%, Lord, that you'll lay your hand upon them today, Lord, and that you'll touch them today and just clear up these sore throats and runny noses and coughs. Lord, we pray. We pray for them. We pray for the hopefuls. Lord, that you will just stretch out your hand over that group. And bless Brother Phil. We pray that you'll help him and strengthen him. And Lord, just undertake for this need. We pray for all the boys, Lord, in their meeting right now this morning, that you'll come and draw near to them. Wherever in the story of Elisha they are, whatever they're learning this morning, we pray that you'll speak to their hearts. And the cottage also, Lord, bless the little ones that are there, learning your word day after day. Thank you for the opportunity that they have and that we have to pray for them and believe you to work and show yourself very real to these little children. We give ourselves to you here in Watch Rock today, Lord. Thank you for this day that you have made, a day for us to get to know you better, a day for you to work in us by your Spirit, a day, Lord, as we've sung and are praying, Lord, hear our prayer, Spirit Divine, come in, come in, empty us of self, fill us with thee. Oh, Spirit of God, abide with us. Draw nearer than ever before, Lord. It can be better today. As well and as good as it was yesterday, it could be better today. More of your saving fullness, more of your love, more of your joy, more of your peace, more of your kingdom sure increase. And so we ask today that by the Holy Spirit, you will draw very near to us, everyone. And then, Lord, have your way in this meeting, this morning meeting. The opportunity is yours to use whoever you desire to use, Lord, to encourage, to admonish, to help us towards Christ. We pray that we all might drink at that fountain. That river must flow. And Lord, the river does flow. May it flow into us, and may it flow through us, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Last verse, number 74. All that I have I give to thee.
Hallelujah. 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 More.
miraculous warning that those boys are hearing more about Jesus.
Amen.
How wonderful it is for them to have the opportunity, for all of us to have the opportunity to come to a place where we hear the unadulterated word of God. And I was thinking how great it is that the boys are learning those about Elijah, last year Elijah and now Elisha. Those great stories. There are a couple of really, really good stories. The floating axe head, do you remember that? The nasty soup. Just good stories that will get the boys' attention. And how wonderful is the Word of God, the poetry, the history, exciting letters. And how blessed we are that God made the Word of God so enjoyable. And although I like the King James Version, there are other versions now that are so easy to understand, that are good for witnessing. And oh, that the Lord may help us to appreciate His Word, and pray that the boys will, by the Word of God, be changed. I was interested in what Sister Edith said yesterday about the preaching and how the preaching itself matters and has an impact on all of us. I have seen over the years staff members, perhaps, and younger people who are not familiar with this way of worship, or who may not particularly have an interest in the things of God, but just by being here for a week or two, they may seem like they don't absorb anything, but just the preaching of the Word and the Spirit of God among us changes their lives, and they've expressed this. They go home and they've been changed through the power of God, by His Word, by the Holy Spirit. How wonderful it is that God reveals Himself to us in that way. It's not only in the glory times, it's not only in the times when we feel emotionally happy and where we can sense His presence, but His Spirit changes us deep within. Hallelujah. I remember a time in my life when I had gone through something and I was just jittery. I don't know what it was. I think they have a name for it now. It escapes me. But I was just jittery. I felt uncomfortable in crowds. And that's not my personality normally, but it was something very real. And it was at that time I was able to come to the winter retreats. This is way back in the 80s. And how often we sat in silence, and you don't know what God is doing, but you just accept whatever it is, and you feel God moving among us and in our hearts. And it's at those times where He makes those deep and lasting changes in our souls, in our spirits, in our emotions. That's when God moves. He moves in mysterious ways, not always the same, but they are ways that are real and impacting our lives. I'm so thankful for that. There was a time when Mrs. Judd, one of the Faith Home vessels, when she first came to the meetings or got to know the people in Zion, she had been the head of a secretarial school. She was a very, very, very astute woman, very proper woman. And she expressed, I believe it was to Mrs. Robinson, how she enjoyed the meetings, but she just doesn't understand that silence. Mm-hmm. And somehow in the question, she stuck her nose up about the silence. And Mrs. Robinson said, oh, that is one of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Yes. And it's true. And we don't understand it. And it's not that sometimes people feel I have to do something to get things moving again. But oh, when the Holy Spirit can move in silence and change us within. And oh, that we would be open to whatever means God has.
Yes.
Whether it's the preaching, whether it's the silence, whether it's testimonies or songs, may God help us. This song that we just sang, Spirit Divine, come in, come in. I received an email just this morning from someone, I don't know where he heard of us. He obviously Googled and got the campsite, and he's a fellow from Arkansas, and he said, please, I need to speak to someone about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to experience tongues so I can praise the Lord. Well, that's wonderful. That's one use of the holy of the tongue of tongues. That's what the Holy Spirit intends, for us to praise Him more. But I replied to him that the real reason for the Holy Spirit is that we experience Jesus Christ in reality, that we are changed, that we experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And just, I'm going to send him this song, the words to this song. Spirit divine, come in, come in. And all that God would make that real to us more than ever before. It is Jesus Christ within. A lovership with Jesus, a relationship with Jesus, where he changes us into from one glory to another glory by his image and through his image. Oh, Holy Spirit, divine, come in. Come in,
Jesus.
Even this morning.
Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. things in Jesus I find. All that I want is in Jesus. And what we've heard this morning in this testimony is pathways or roads that lead us, all of these different ways, they lead us to Jesus. There are different ways, not the same way all the time. Maybe some of us, I've heard one of our pastors who's gone to be with the Lord say, he said, I particularly like silence. So he could sit in a meeting, every meeting, just silently wait upon the Lord, and that would be for him tremendous. But he said, I realize that's not what the Lord always wants. And it's not what some people can get accustomed to or enjoy. There are times of outpourings of worship and praise. And that brings people to Jesus too. It's another path. But these paths are not just ends in themselves. We don't want to sit here for an hour and then go and, well, we sat silently. Where did that silence bring you to? Did it lead you closer to Jesus? Did it bring you into his presence? Were you able to commune and have fellowship with him? If it did, then that's what the Lord intended, because these are just the pathways to the feet of Jesus. Sometimes people really enjoy praise and worship, and it's not a good meeting unless everybody stood with their hands raised praising the Lord. Well, that could be a good meeting, but has it brought you to Jesus? As we've worshiped, has he been able to come to us and inhabit those praises and work in our lives and in our hearts? And these, again, are ways. I like that psalm. I like Psalm 84. And in the psalm, it talks about these ways of Zion. These ways. David prays in, I think it's Psalm 25, Lord, show me your ways. And that's a good prayer to pray. It's a good prayer for you to pray. I don't know what you like or don't like. I don't know what you're accustomed to or not. I read recently a book that I really enjoyed called Joy Unspeakable by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was an Anglican preacher and pastor and teacher, I guess more than pastor and preacher, teacher, and from the Anglican Church. And they are not particularly interested in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But Dr. Jones said, you know, I don't really care what my background is. I don't care what I necessarily am accustomed to or what I like or gravitate to. I have to find what the Bible says. I have to look and see what the Word of God teaches. And so he goes through the scriptures and he got himself into trouble with that book and with his teaching. But it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. These truths that we've heard this morning are all in the Bible. And they are these ways of Zion, these ways of the Lord that I need to learn. Maybe always will need to learn better. I've learned them a little bit because I've heard taught to me since I've been a little boy. These are God's ways. I've been in meetings where we sat the whole meeting and we didn't say a word for 2 hours. And people get jumpy. They're like, I wasn't a preacher then. I was in the congregation. People are on the platform. You got five ministers on the platform, and none of them know what to do. Well, they all know what to do. They knew what to do was to sit still and to just wait on God. And that might be, you might consider that a miracle. To have five preachers in one meeting and none of them open their mouth at all. Nobody says anything. And then, you know, of course, sometimes the congregants, they get a little bit jumpy. We've got to help the preacher along. They're probably all sleeping up there. So let's do something. Somebody's got to do something. And one time that happened in another meeting, not the one I'm referring to, but another meeting, somebody did something. And when they did something, the preacher got up and he said, now let's dismiss the meeting. And start a new one, and prayed and dismissed that meeting, got that out of the way, and now we're going to start a new meeting, sitting and waiting on the Lord and in his presence. The meeting I'm just talking about, after 2 hours, Uncle Hunt said, the meeting is dismissed. If you'd like to go, we're going to change the order of the meeting. But anybody that wants to stay and wait on the Lord is welcome to stay. I thought that was murder. We just did that for 2 hours, and now we're going to change the order and wait on the Lord. For how long? Who knows what? Well, God's ways, God's ways. And if you know Uncle Hans, I mean, he could praise the Lord with a loud voice, and he could be demonstrative in his praise. And your ways, show me your ways, O Lord. The Bible, as we've heard, that's God's way. Somebody said to me this morning, you know what Martin Luther taught, what Sister Edith mentioned last night, is found in the Bible. So they said, you know, it's even better than hearing that Martin Luther taught it to find it in the Bible. If you love me, you keep my commands. And if you keep my words, if you get my word into you, and if you keep it, then I'll make my abode with you. I'll manifest myself to you. I'll live in you if you just take my words and keep them. And so I'm thankful that, you know, the hardest job, I think, for the preacher is to know what the Lord wants. It's not hard to do this or to do that or to do the other. They're all God's, but Lord, what do you want? What do you want? And that's not only the preacher's job, but isn't that all our jobs? When we come together in a meeting to say, Lord, what do you want? What are you after? What do you want to accomplish in this meeting? And then to allow the Lord to do in you what he'd like to do. And sometimes it's rather clear and obvious if God pours out praise or puts stillness on a meeting. Well, we want to enter in. Sometimes the Lord wants to use you or someone to testify. To say that's God's way. The Bible says when we come together, somebody has a psalm. I don't know, anybody here have a psalm or a hymn? Or somebody has a word of exhortation. Anybody got one of those? A word of admonition. Those are God's ways. And it doesn't always stem from the platform or the leaders. It stems from those that are in the body of Christ. When you come together, we help and bless and encourage one another. And I know what it is to be intimidated. You hear Sister Edith speak, as she did last night. She, you know, if there are 176,000 words in the English language, she probably knows 159 of them. 1,000, not 159, 159,000. She knows a lot of words. She knows a lot of words. And she knows how to put them together where they make sense. My wife sometimes tells me that was the wrong word. You didn't really mean that. I can't say some words the right way. I still confuse them and mix them up. And my take on that is as long as people understand what I'm trying to say, I don't care if it's the right word or the wrong word, as long as they get the point. Well, I guess it's better to use the right words. And, you know, you hear somebody maybe testify and you were going to say something for the Lord, but I can't say it like them. I'll embarrass myself. I stand up and I get nervous, and when I get nervous, it doesn't come out right. That happened to me so many times. I could write a book on mistakes that I've made. My autobiography maybe is a whole book of mistakes. And I know what it is to be a little timid and shy. And when I was younger, sometimes the preachers would help me. Somebody said last year, they were here earlier for the youth retreat, they said, I like to come third period because Brother Ernie never calls on us. And that made me think, maybe I should start calling on them. But then they would come third period, and then that would be not good. And that person didn't stay third period anyway. But, I got the help that I needed when I first started to preach and speak. And my Uncle Edwin would... Now it's time to hear from Brother Ernie. Oh, it is? I didn't know that. And I'd get up, and invariably, especially at the beginning, I would cry. I mean, I'd stand here and I'd say something, three sentences, and then I'd start to cry or somewhere or other. And I don't know. I don't think it was the Spirit of God necessarily. I think it was nerves. Or I was backward. I never wanted to say anything. I would always shy away from any public ministry. I played my trumpet in meeting. That was my job. That was my calling in life. And I would have been happy just doing that the rest of my life. And now here's this is what I do. And I'm not saying that the nerves ever really go away. I'm not nervous now. And I guess I don't get nervous per se. The whole nervous part is, Lord, I have to do what you want me to do. That's the hard part. But if you feel intimidated sometimes, and you know God has given you a word to say, his ways are to use you. His ways are to help you, to be a blessing. We've been called, the covenant call to Abraham was, I've called you, Abraham, I want to bless you so that you could be a blessing. I don't bless you so that the blessing can stop with you and so that you can be blessed to death. And you can go out of meeting and say, boy, was I blessed. Well, that's great, but how about someone else being blessed through you and by you? Well, I can never be a blessing. Why not? It's not you, it's God in you. It's his word in you. It's what he has for you to say. And I have been so tremendously blessed by people in the congregation who couldn't talk very well, who couldn't really speak, or if they did, it would be broken English. I can remember once a woman in our church who cannot sing. But she got up from her seat and she said, I feel that the Lord would want me to sing. She came to the piano. She does not play the piano either. She plays it like, you know, she tinkers around on it. And she sat there behind the piano, and an octave lower, she sang that song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus. She was way down, started in the basement, finished in the basement. But after she finished singing, I don't know that there was a dry eye in the whole congregation. Because God just came by his presence. Came by his presence. Now you could have the most virtuoso voice and the most beautiful talent and on display. And that there's nothing wrong with that. But when God anoints, when people are used by God. Now I think the world hearing that person, it was, some of you know Judy Ribeiro. And you know she's probably never sung since that time. But that time she did. Ready, Lord, to have you use me. If you want to, I'll let you. And you might make a mistake, and this is why I stood up in the first place. Brother Paul talked about those mistakes that the sons of the prophet Elisha made. And they were mistakes, but every one of them were corrected by God. Death in the pot. We'll throw some salt in. That'll take care of that. And it was corrected. I lost the axe head. It was borrowed. Well, take a stick and stick it in the water and see what happens. And he caught it. Got it back up again. God's okay with our mistakes. He's okay if you stumble around a little bit or maybe crack on a note or whatever it might be. God's okay with that. I'm glad he is. He sees the heart, and his spirit anoints the desire to please him, the desire to be used by him, the desire to serve him. I often think, Lord, you know, nothing's going to be accomplished because I'm here or any ability that I have. But I think, Lord, in spite of myself, in spite of the shortcomings that I have, you can take the little that we offer and somehow use it for your honor and for your glory. And how often? I didn't pray this prayer, but somebody was asked to pray in the meeting. And they stood to their feet, and in a loud voice, they said, Dear Glad, we're so God to be here today. Well, that was backwards. It was a mistake. But hey, you make mistakes. Every Christian makes blunders and mistakes, but why call them all to mind, the songwriter says. Call them all to mind because they're funny. But you overlook those mistakes. The worst one was Brother Eddie Parker. I can use his name now because he's gone home to be with the Lord. Lord, help our falling shorts. Yeah, help them too, I guess, but more so our short fallings. Brother Frank Posta, Pastor, Reverend Frank Posta, I pronounce you man and woman, marrying as couple. Well, that'd be good for our day today, but back in the good old days, you didn't have that problem. But he, husband and wife. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but I won't. I'll stop right now. But what I'm trying to say is God wants to use you. He wants to teach us his ways. He wants to help us then to accomplish by his help, by his spirit. And again, you know, I'm not advocating, let's all try to make as many mistakes as we can. We want to try not to make mistakes. But we're fallible. We can't help ourselves sometimes. We try our best. And maybe it's not always up to par or what we would hope would happen. And you sit down after and it came out all wrong. Well, maybe it came out just the way that God wanted it to come out. Maybe it'll encourage someone else. If maybe you haven't been encouraged by what you said, maybe somebody else will be encouraged to do what the Lord would have them to do. And so I just want to underscore and re-echo God's word. Silence, sitting still before him, opening our hearts and rejoicing, reading and preaching the word, or admonishing one another and exhorting one another. Why do meetings sometimes last 2 hours? Because there's an awful lot that God needs to get into a meeting. And if God doesn't get you into the meeting the way he wants to, or have you fit in under what he directs, maybe the preacher will preach too long, like he's doing right now. And so the preacher's going to sit down and say, Lord, now, you get your will done. You come and have your way. Maybe we'd like to sing, and you'd like to sing number 3 in our hymn book. I'm sorry, Oh, we didn't finish singing 65 yet. Let's finish 65. Forget 3. 65, the third stanza. No other name stirs the joy chords within.
Find it all.